Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the JCWS Podcast. This is episode number 257, dedicated to a man who on September 21st, 1997, became the second person to hit a home run out of Dodger Stadium. Mr. Mike Piazza, and as always, thank you for listening and downloading another episode of the podcast. On today's episode, we will be joined by Mr. Mo Murphy. Mo is the host of the Up in Flames podcast. Him and I had a fun conversation about Robert Sarver's suspension, the owner of the Suns, that was recently handed down by the NBA. But before we get to my conversation with Mo Murphy, there was a conversation on Monday regarding two Monday Night Football games happening simultaneously. And people were up in arms. People were happy. Some were sad. Some were disgruntled. Why in the world do they have two Monday Night Football games on at the same time? And that got me thinking. Got me thinking about a lot. Does it make sense for the ESPN to have a game on the ABC and a game on the ESPN? Does it make sense for them to have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman call a game on ABC and then also to have Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky to call a game on the ESPN? Yeah, it does. And with the technology we have today and the avenues we have to watch games, if you want to watch both games at the same time, you can. Yes, it'll take more brain power. Yes, it'll take more effort. But I see nothing wrong with ESPN going this route. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if down the road we see where ESPN has a Monday Night Football game on ABC. That's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Then they end up having one on ESPN. May it still be Steve Levy, Louis Riddick, and Dan Orlovsky, or whoever calls that game. I have no problem with it at all. Because who's going to complain about more football on my TV on a Monday night? Just let this sink into you. Where football is king, or football is the end-all, be-all, football rules. There was recently, as Mo and I discussed, the Robert Sarver suspension was handed down during football season. And I don't really hear people at my workplace talking about the suspension of the Suns owner. And he also got fined $10 million. We are talking about football, NFL football, fantasy football, college football. Nobody talks about the NBA. And with football being king like right now in America, as it has been forever, why not try something new? I mean, it's a luxury for you to have Joe Buck and Troy Aikman on your channel for you guys to utilize at your disposal. And then have Steve Levy, who was the voice of Monday Night Football for a hot minute, who still wants to call football games. Why don't you utilize him as well? Louis Riddick, ESPN loves him. How about you utilize him as well? Dan Orlovsky, a great analyst for the football. Utilize him as well. I love the idea. I hope we see more of it now. I surely hope the next time that we see two games on Monday Night Football, that one game doesn't end in a 41-7 blowout as the Bills just destroyed the Tennessee Titans. Or another one, 24-7, the Eagles just took care of business against the Minnesota Vikings. I truly hope that the games are more competitive. I truly hope that if we get this again down the road, that the games are things that I want to watch at the same time. And with the YouTube TV and many television streaming apps, maybe your cable provider, maybe your television, you can have a picture-in-picture. Great. Utilize it. Do that thing. Or many of you have multiple televisions in your home. How about you move one to where you're watching the football on your regular screen? Next thing you know, two games at the same time. Or many of you that are listening, you may watch a game on one game on the TV, another game on your laptop or the iPad. Whatever it is, we as football fans have gotten accustomed to watching multiple games at the same time. Not everybody, but a lot of people can. A lot of people do. Hey, I would never complain about multiple Monday Night Football games all at the same time. Nope. Because if I want to watch one, I'll watch. If I want to watch both, I'll find a way to make that thing happen. This is America. We have luxuries here. This is America. We have avenues and ways to get these things done to where we can watch multiple games at once. Hey, ESPN. I have been very critical of your network for quite a long time. I think this is a wise move. I hope we see it more. And I wouldn't be shocked if you get two games on Monday night, on one on ESPN, one on ABC. And if we get the Mannings, Manning cast, what game do they work with? Or do they do double duty? Do both games at the same time? Hey, just throwing ideas out there. Y'all love the Mannings. I recently saw Eli Manning when he was a pretend walk-on at Penn State. That was humor at its finest. You know what? I just can't wait to see more Monday Night Football, more football on my television. I love it, man. This is my time of year, and I can't wait to see more football coming up right here tomorrow, Thursday. Right, say right here. Tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Five straight days of football. Hey, sign me up for that every day of the week and twice on Sunday because I am here for that. Let's go ahead and take a trip to the state of Texas to enjoy my fun conversation with Mr. Mo Murphy. Mo is the host of the Up in Flames podcast, and he is the VP of the Off the Ball Network. And joining us now here on the JCMS podcast is a guy that I've done quite a few shows with over the past couple of years. He's done quite a few with me over at Locked On Buckeyes, a few over here at the JCMS podcast. It's my guy, our guy, Mo Murphy. He's the host of the Up in Flames podcast and also the VP of the Off the Ball Network. Mo, take two. Welcome to the podcast, man.
What's going on, Jay? Hey, had a little hiccup on take one, but that's my fault, bro. I'm always honored to do a show with you, whether it's Locked On Buckeyes, coming on your podcast, having you on mine. Like, I just feel like we do great shows together. And if people heard the conversations pre-show, they probably be like, y'all should just press record the minute y'all get on camera and put it out, because we always end up talking, what, for 30 minutes prior to doing the show.
We do every time, and I know Mo has to get out of here to do some stuff later on with another podcast. He actually told the host of that podcast, hey, Jay and I get to talking, so let's push the start of this thing back a few minutes. But Mo, you and I do a lot of stuff with Ohio State, and Ohio State stuff is pretty sometimes easy. Like, I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it. Ohio State's one of the best programs in football and college football in the entire country. So sometimes when you play at Toledo and Arkansas State or some of the non-conference games, things get a little easy, even some Big Ten games. We talk about analyze. Those are easy to analyze because Ohio State is that team. But then there are some topics in just sports in general, college football, college basketball, any sport that just take us away from the game, take us away from the things that we love, the highlights of being a fan of sports. It's stories like what we got recently with the allegations from Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver. He's been the Suns owner, majority owner, for 17 years, a very long time. But now there are allegations of misogyny, allegations of a toxic work environment, use of the N-word, and Robert Sarver is a white man, so I'm going to put that in context as well. He was recently suspended by the NBA, suspended for 1 year, and fined $10 million. Mo, when you first heard about this situation with Robert Sarver and the allegations, the things that came out that people accused him of, what went through your mind?
I thought it was crazy. I mean, stuff like this is always, it's always wild. And I guess you call it a scandal, right? And like we go back to just recently, a few months ago, we had to deal with the whole Deshaun Watson stuff, and more things come out. And that's kind of been with the Robert Sarver, is like over the past, couple of years, we've heard rumblings of like things within the organization because of him. He's not a good owner. People have like been fired or let go or left Phoenix Suns organization. And that's kind of when some of these allegations started coming out. And all of them were allegations until proven otherwise. And like at this point, the NBA has done their investigation and found most of them to be 100% completely true. So, but I just thought it was crazy. Like, I feel like a year wasn't long enough. Like, I don't know. I think under that circumstance, like when we're talking about racism, when we're talking about sexual harassment, we're talking about sexual assault, like, bro, you got to sell the team. Like, I just feel like there's no way. And then $10 million to an owner, like, bro, aren't these dudes like six, like, aren't these dudes like nine figure millionaires, let alone billionaires? Like, you look at the money, like, guys like Steve Ballmer have, like, what's $10 million? Like, yes, it hurts. I didn't plan on spending $10 million. But at the same time, like, that's probably their monthly budget with the kind of money they got. So I just felt like the overall suspension, it just wasn't enough for me. Like, I think you had to rule that he needs to sell the team. And I know, you know, I'm sure we'll get into it, but Adam Silver said a few things that a lot of people didn't like, but it is the reality. It's a couple things he said in there is like, you don't like it, and I don't like it, nobody likes, but it is the reality of the world we live in. some of the stuff that he said in his press conference immediately after handing down that suspension.
You know, Mo, I have a weird feeling about this one because it's one thing to say a player gets suspended for marijuana, but the NBA is kind of lighter on that right now. Or a player gets suspended for domestic violence, but what he gets suspended for a year. I'm trying to put this in the same context as saying if X player, I don't care if it's LeBron James, former players, today's players, I don't care who it is. If certain players did things that were racist or sexist or being things that were that created a toxic work environment and you're an athlete, would they get the same type of penalty? I believe the penalty for a fine for a player is capped at a certain amount. And I also don't know if they will get suspended for a year. Robert Sarver, 17 years as an owner. He's been around for a very long time. The good old boys club as an owner. If you're 17 years in, you're doing something where your team is successful. I think they built a new arena under his watch. Like, there's a lot of things happening. The Suns are a good basketball team. They're selling out the arena. So there's a lot of good things happening under his watch. And so you would think, well, good things are happening. What is coming out? Well, I don't want to read everything. I started to read certain things, and I was like, he did this or he did that. And he kind of started to, it was the one thing that happened, I believe, during the 2015-16 season where Draymond Green was saying the N-word on the court. And then Robert Sarver was back in the back, I believe in the locker room or somewhere back behind off the court. He was saying N-word this, N-word that. And a player came back and said, well, you can't say that. And Robert Sarver came back and said, well, if Draymond Green can say the N-word, I can say the N-word. I'm not saying the N-word on the podcast. Everyone probably knows why. But Sarver said the actual N-word. And so I'm thinking, like, that's crazy. Then as I kept reading what's on the ESPN.com website, and it's just really detailed, and it's not just 2 years, 3 years, 2015, 2016. It goes all the way back to, I believe, when Steve Nash was playing for the squad and Amari Stoudemire was playing on the squad. So it goes back to a very, very, very long time. And it's just weird, man. I had flashbacks of Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling, we had tapes. And I mean, we and this is podcasts weren't big at this time. Well, podcasts were a thing. They weren't as big as they are now. But podcasts were people were able to get the hands on the tape and the recordings, play those on the on their shows, radio stations, TV stations. They're playing the recordings. You're like, oh, we can get concrete information about what Donald Sterling did. So that's how Donald Sterling was forced to sell the team. Robert Sarver, surely doesn't seem like that's the initial move when it comes to what Robert Sarver is going to have to do to him, do at least as it stands right now. And it's interesting. We don't have tapes. We don't have video. We don't have any of that stuff. We just have an investigator, some reporters, people that are doing their job, getting down to the nitty-gritty details. And all of a sudden, based on their reporting and their investigations, they're saying, oh, these are things that are happening in detailed order. I think the one-year suspension and $10 million fine will hold for a little bit. But, Mo, there are a lot of people, LeBron James being one of them, that is not happy with the suspension, with the penalty, the punishment that's been handed down to Robert Sarver. And I can understand why. Because a one-year suspension, a $10 million fine, you say a guy, a white guy's using the N-word, there's a toxic work environment, women that are being mistreated, women that are being sexually abused, and then also that – they go to talk to somebody in HR saying, oh, just move your desk. I'm like, no, that can't happen. He's the owner. Something has to change. And it just doesn't sit right with me that this is a one-year suspension, $10 million fine, because it just seems like there's more to the story. And once video does come out or tapes, I think they're out there somewhere, we'll look back and say, how in the world do y'all do one-year suspension when y'all got all this information at your disposal?
Yeah, so... Whole time, you know what I'm thinking? I know like ESPN gave a detailed investigation, but you remember what made the everybody really raise their eyebrows at Deshaun Watson prior to the suspension being handed down? Was New York Times did their own investigation. And remember, it went from like 20-something to there were 60-something women that he had got massages with over the past three. Like, so the number rose and a lot of information was coming out that we weren't made aware of, and the Browns told us they did this investigation, and and then you're like, a New York Times reporter goes and finds all of this type of information, and you're telling me you did a full-blown investigation. Like, I'm kind of waiting for a New York Times or, like, one of those big-time papers to send somebody and be like, how much more information is out there, and go get it and create a story. And you know, if somebody at the New York Times puts it out, like, I think there's more to the story, obviously, like, they're only investigating what people have spoken about. But, you know, sometimes people go through trauma and don't speak about it. I don't want to be spoken about it. Sometimes people got paid off. Like, we did you wrong here, but here's $150,000 on your way out the door. We're going to fire you, but you got to sign an NDA and you can't talk about it, right? You got to pay off. And it's not that that person's wrong for taking a payoff, but it's like, you got a life to live too. And like, do you want to speak out on it? But what do you gain from it? Are you going to get 150? Like, is it valuable? So now you have this piece of information that I could leak. Now we're going to sign an NDA and we're going to value it at $150,000 and that's your payout. And now you can never talk about it. And it's illegal for you to ever speak out on it and talk about it. So I think there's going to be a lot of cases where we see that with this investigation. And like I said, like it just like, and I know we're about to touch on, but Adam Silver, because you brought it up and Adam Silver said it, right? Like owners are held to a different standard than players. And Adam Silver basically said that. He's like, it's not the same. The employer is not held to the same standard as the employee. And so it's a little different. That is the case. We live in a world where what? Money talks.
Yeah.
The more money you got, the more power you got, the more you can afford to get away with. Money solves a lot. It doesn't solve everything, but it solves a lot of things. It's the root of all evil. Like in this, for instances like this, like I don't know what his net worth is. I know it's nine figures. At least he owns an NBA team, let alone he's probably a multi-billionaire. Don't know. Didn't look that up, but he's definitely got to be a nine-figure guy to own an NBA team, period, point blank. So money talks, and like Adam Silver said it, and that is the world we live in. Like, if you work, is Jeff Bezos held to the same standard as the person packaging packages at Amazon? Like, no. Like, you do something and he does something and is held, is looked at in a different light and is held to a different standard. Like, he could fire you. You're not going to fire him. Like, if he harasses you, you could complain. That's going to get swept under the rug because he's got money. He's Jeff Bezos. He's the CEO. And so these owners are the CEOs. Is it okay? No, it's just the harsh reality that we live in. Like, it's just leaders and CEOs or whatever are not held to the same standard as employers or, you know, the junior guys of whatever company or business or partnership, whatever you're doing. So with Adam Silver, I'm surprised he said that though. Like, I think that's one of the weirder things is like, he didn't seem prepared. And then he came out and said that. So he basically told everybody, like, when we looked at this, we also did at the end of the day, like he's an owner and he's not held to the same standard. His money talked different. And he still probably has owner friends that if we was going to try, I don't know what the percent is, but I know majority of the owners have to vote on him to sell the team. Mm-hmm. And they probably evaluated all that and was like, I don't think they might have talked to owners. We don't know that kind of information yet, but they might have went and there might not have been enough votes for them to even put that on the table right now. But you hand out this suspension, you get the public in an uproar. Now we got to start forcing hands. Like, now owners start feeling some type of way. Now they put it to a vote. Do you want it to leak? Does Mark Cuban want it to leak that he was a guy that said, no, Robert Sarver should not, you know, sell the team? Like, because once we start putting pressure and start putting things in motion, all that information is going to leak. Oh, it came to a 27-30 vote. Guess what everybody going to know? Who's the three guys that said no? Like, that's what you're going to want to know. If it's not a unanimous vote, if it's 29 of the 30 owners, who said no? And that's what everybody's going to want to know. So I think now that it's public, you let the public get in an uproar, you let players speak out, you let a lot of people have a problem with it, you let him look bad everywhere, you let these sponsorships start saying, like PayPal, we will no longer sponsor the team. If he's the owner after this year, they will terminate their contract and their deal with them to be the logo on their jersey. Like, now you force hands, and now Adam Silver has to revisit this and have even more serious conversations, which is where I see this going. I mean, when guys like LeBron speak, when guys like, you know, those big name guys, like if Steph speaks on it or certain guys, KD got some kind of power, like his voice has power. Like, if guys like that speak on it, you could create it as an issue. And my only question is, like, do you think players start not playing? Like, do you think there's anybody, do you think there's a conversation where Suns players are like, we're not playing until he has to sell the team? Like, I don't think so. But like, you got to remember, The point guard of that team is also the former NBA PA president. Like, he was representing until he passed the torch to CJ McCollum. Like, does Chris Paul kind of do what the power he knows? And he knows the in and outs of what he can do as a player. He was the president representing all the players. You think Chris Paul like leads the charge of like, I'm not playing until he has to sell the team? And then do you think it leaves from Phoenix on to the NBA. I mean, if Chris Paul, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, I'm not saying that's their responsibility. I'm just saying if it trickles down that way, the NBA ain't running this. Steph, LeBron, and KD and them guys ain't playing, period. Now you got to sell the team or we about to lose billions of dollars. We about to lose billions of dollars. We about to start losing a lot of things because of these obligations. So do you even think that's a possibility? Like, do you think that's on the table that players are having that conversation? I'm not mad at them one way or the other if they are. I'm just saying, like, do you think that's a possibility or have you even thought about that?
I have briefly not put much crazy thought into it, but there's a few factors that come into my mind when you think about players not playing. I think there's three guys that come to my mind and think about, like, if they speak up, things can happen. Now, I say three. There's probably more. Forgive me. There's LeBron. There's Steph. There's Chris Paul. You got to put Giannis in the conversation because I think Giannis is in an interesting situation. If you go back to the bubble in 2020, I think Giannis was a leader in Milwaukee with everything that with the shooting that went down in Milwaukee where the Bucks decided to not play. Like, they weren't going to play a game because of what was going on in their hometown. So I want to put that foreigner out there as well, three Americans and a foreigner, because the league is getting a lot of foreign guys, a lot of foreign influence. And if Giannis steps out and says, I'm not playing, what does Luka do? Like, what do all these other guys do that are foreigners and say, well, this is something that we don't want in our league. The commissioner has handed down this punishment, 1 year suspension, $10 million fine, and so we're not going to play. So if three, maybe four guys speak up, really the three, LeBron, Chris Paul, and Steph, if they say no, I can understand that. But here's another factor, Mo. Not everybody's making all that kind of money. And so, like, if you got a guy who's a fringe 12, 13, 14, 15th guy on the roster, and if Giannis says he's not playing, and Chris Paul and D Book are saying they're not going to play, and LeBron's like, yeah, man, me and AD, we're not going to play at all. And then John Wall's like, John Wall's not the guy he used to be, but John Wall could still figure out how to get things done in the locker room. And John Wall's like, I'm not playing. And if you got all these big time names in the league that are saying they're not going to play, what about that guy that needs to play just to have some money? Like, now, granted, he's getting paid a decent amount of money. What if also these owners are like, hey, if y'all aren't going to play, we aren't going to pay you? So there's a lot of factors here to where things could be kind of interesting. Who speaks up? LeBron's already spoken up about being not happy with the suspension and the penalty. Does LeBron say, I'm not going to play? Well, that's one person. What if these owners say, if you don't play, we're not going to pay you? What if there's some writing in the contract that says, if you guys don't play under these circumstances, we're not going to pay you? Like, these are things I'm sure in the past couple of years since COVID, owners are trying to make sure there's a lot of details to say, I pay you here, I don't pay you here, because of the way things are going in our society and people standing up and feeling bold enough to say, this isn't right. So I don't know if guys don't play, man, because I can see D Book and Chris Paul saying no, but also I don't know if the guy that's 13, 14, 15th on the roster is going to say, I'm not playing either, because if he says he's not playing, he could get cut. And so it's a really tricky, interesting slope when you think about Robert Sarver. Will these guys play? Will they not play? Will his suspension get lengthened? Will his fine be larger? Will he end up being a guy who continues to own the team? I don't know. I think PayPal being one of the main sponsors is huge in them saying they're set to cancel the sponsorship if the owner returns after the ban. I think that's huge because you say money talks to the owners, money talks to these franchises. And I bet you there are local businesses that are probably on the fence. Think about the 13th, 14th, 15th guy that's out there on the roster. Some of these local businesses utilize this money to help them have bigger events. Yeah, they're paying money for the sponsorship, but also they're getting a lot of money back on the back end for having their name right there with the Phoenix Suns in that local area. And so it's very interesting and tricky. There's even something I saw when, just to get a little more nitty-gritty about what Robert Sarver has done. This comes from ESPN in the article talking about certain things that happened under Robert Sarver. When the Suns were recruiting free agent LaMarcus Aldridge in 2015, the team knew that Aldridge had young children in Texas. I'm going to read this right from the article, Bo. Mm-hmm. The team knew that Aldridge had young children in Texas and that playing near them was appealing because you have kids, and I'm sure if you were an athlete, you want to make sure your kids saw you play all the time. During the recruitment of Aldridge, Sarver remarked to two basketball operations staffers that the Suns needed to have local strippers impregnated by NBA players, so those players would have children in the Phoenix area and feel obliged to be closer to them, giving the Suns a potential edge in free agency. That's sick. Like, we're talking about players. Will they play or will they not play? We're talking about the 13, 14, 15 guy on the roster. Will he get cut if he does not play? We're talking about a one-year suspension, $10 million fine. That's sick. Like, that's legitimately sick to think about, saying, hey, we need to have this occupation, have them get impregnated by our occupation to allow us to have an aid in for agency. That's sick. And that's just one story. I purposefully did not read multiple because I feel like there's a listener or two. Might be like, man, that's sick. That's disgusting. What is this guy doing owning a team?
Yeah.
Mo said it great. Mo said it well. Money talks. We could talk about the players, all that stuff. There's more stories to this. There's more to this. And I bet you, Mo, if you get a bold female to step up and say, Robert Sarver did this or that, go back to the conversation we had about players, if they will or will not play, allow some women to speak up. I bet you LeBron will have more words than Chris Paul, D-Book. They'll have more to say about this very thing because it's sick to read some of the things that this man is accused of doing.
Yeah, and like to go back real quick to your player point is like, if LeBron and AD don't play, I don't expect, you know, who's on the end of their bench? They don't even have Stanley Johnson anymore. I don't know, their team's horrible, but the dude that they signed from the Spurs, Lonnie Walker. Yeah. I don't expect Lonnie Walker to sit. Like, it's not, stars have the voices, right? Like, if Lonnie Walker says something, I'm not going to say who cares, but the world, like, it's not going to attract the world. Like, they right. don't want to hear. So if LeBron and AD are like, I'm not playing, I'm not upset. Or if and Russ is like, I'm not playing, they can afford not to play. And they can afford to stand up for what they believe in. They can afford to lose some money at the end of the day because they made themselves a great deal of money. I don't blame that last guy on the bench if he's like, they have this conversation in the locker room, and I'm sure guys like Chris Paul and LeBron and Steph, those type of leaders understand, I got that kind of money. I got that kind of power in within the NBA. I can afford to do this. And I'm sure they have conversations. I'm sure somebody like Draymond is not looking at the last guy on the Warriors bench who probably would have an opportunity to start because they all sit and be like, nah, bro, you're wrong if you play. Like, they understand, like, there's a different amount of money on each other's table. And there's, you know, when you have that kind of money, you can move different. So I do think, like, it wouldn't be where, like, the whole NBA needs to sit out because some guy, but if LeBron's not, and LeBron and AD not playing for the Lakers, and Chris Paul and D-Book not playing for Phoenix, and, you know, Golden State, Steph, Clay, and Draymond, and Wiggins aren't playing, right? Like, if all these guys decide, like, I'm not going to play until he sells the team, what do you think the NBA is going to do? Every single owner is going to see that those games are not selling out, that money coming in is not the same, those concession sales are weak, and they're all going to get together and everybody, we got to vote this man out. Like, he's losing us money. What's one thing rich don't like getting? They want to get richer. The rich yeah. want to get richer. And so, it doesn't matter how much money they have. Mark Cuban can afford to lose money, but he don't like losing money. Like, those guys, those billionaires are building empires. So, like, when they see, like, I just took a $10 million loss on this game tonight because my star players didn't play, so nobody came to the game, or we didn't do project, because everything that they make is also on projection. Mm-hmm. They look at those key games here that we know are going to sell out. We know we're going to sell out 35 of our 42 home games, and we know these are key matchups right here, and we're going to maximize. We play on Christmas, so... But what if LeBron AD is not there on Christmas and Luka's not playing? Who's watching TV revenue? Who's watching the Lakers and the Mavericks? So it puts the pressure on even the owners to be like, bro, y'all, what's more important, that friendship with this sick individual or that money? And all of those guys will pick money. So I'm just saying, I don't think the end of the bench guy will have to be put in that position. And I don't think the stars will put those kind of guys who use it in, yeah, they're still making six figures at minimum. But like, I don't think they'll put them in that position to feel obligated. They know they can move different. They know they're all, you know, nine figure guys at this point. They've all signed a nine figure contract. So they understand where they're at. I really think they would just move it, you know, to where like, all right, we're just not going to play. And then the owner's going to start losing money, and it puts the pressure, and boom, in 2 weeks, Robert Sarver's got to sell the team. Like, it wouldn't even be a long process. Like, owners see the first week guys ain't walking out and they're losing money. Boom. Yeah, we're not having this. They're not even going to play the whole taking the knee approach and like, we're willing to lose money, or we don't care that we're losing money. We stand behind our guys. They're going to stand behind their guys and move immediately. They're not going to let this run long. If guys are not willing to play because of Sarver, they're not going to let this run long. They're going to end it. Like, they're going to be like, he's got to sell the team. And I think whether players sit or not, I think that's going to be the ultimate. It's going to happen. Like, I just think it has to happen. It's going to happen. At some point, the NBA is going to get tired of answering about this and feeling the pressure. The players are going to get tired of speaking out about it and nothing happening. And so the players, I think LeBron and Chris Paul and those guys will put the pressure on the NBA. Bro, y'all got to get this man out the league. 1 year is not long enough. He needs to sell the team. You made Donald Sterling sell the team. He's got to sell the team. And I think that'll be the scenario.
Yeah, man, it's really tricky. I'm taking a really interesting approach because I know the longer I've been a podcaster, I know Mo, you learn this. When you long you do something and you're going to find different ways to adjust how you are. So hopefully coaches out there, the longer they are in a game, they find ways to adjust. And so I've adjusted certain things in my podcasting and just analysis. And I learned to just say, I don't know. Like, I don't know all the answers. Like, I don't know everything. And I'm going to be comfortable saying, like, I don't know what the next move is. Like, I have no idea. Mo, when they handed down the suspension from Deshaun Watson, the initial one, was it 4 games or 2 games, whatever light one that was handed down? It was six games, and he got moved to 10. Well, I thought after the six, that was it. Like, I didn't think anything else. But I also said, I don't know what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. 6 games seemed weird, but I don't know what the next move is going to be. Same thing here, like, 1 year suspension, $10 million fine. If there's no tape, and if nobody else does a New York Times type investigation like what happened with Deshaun Watson, I would understand if it stayed where it is, but I don't know what the next move is, and I don't know what the players are going to do. I don't know that. I am comfortable saying I don't know. Maybe that's not what you want to hear, but I want to be honest with you. Like, I don't know, because without the concrete evidence and data that a tape provides, and word of mouth can only get you so far, I don't know what the next move is. And I think Adam Silver is in a really tricky spot. He came – the one difference between Adam Silver now – one of the big differences between Adam Silver now and when he had to hand down the punishment for Donald Sterling, he just took over for the former commissioner. He just took over for David Stern. So he's coming in and he's like, well, this big thing's on my table. What do I do? And he ultimately brought down the hammer. He won over the league and fan bases and people all over for how he handled that situation. He doesn't have to win people over right now. Like, he's already won people, and the NBA is in a good spot. It's doing things that is making it expand. The NBA is in a great spot now. So I don't know what's going to happen. And also, I don't know what Adam Silver is going to do, because him and his time being commissioner of the league is two different spots. Initially, maybe he felt like he needed to bring the hammer down. He might not feel like he needs to do that right now. And it kind of comes out like that because, like you said, there's a different standard for the employee and that person that's hiring that person for a job. Well, I don't know what's next, man. And it's so new. I'm fine waiting for another investigation to come out to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm with you too. Is like, that's why, like, I feel like this like speculation. Like, I'm like, what if? Like, these are all like what if possibilities, because it's like, I don't know. Like, maybe this is all they hand down, but I don't see that being the case, because a couple people have already spoken out. And, like, the public has spoken, and they're not okay with it. And, you know, like you said, with the NBA being so global, like, this isn't a country issue. Like, this isn't within – like, this is being talked about in Greece because of all the Greek freak fans of Giannis. And this is being talked about, you know, where Luka's from and where Jokic – like, this is a worldwide game. I mean, look how much we expanded. I mean, we're the sport to watch in China. So, like, this is conversation everywhere. Like, this is a worldwide conversation. And we also have social media where you can interact with anybody from anywhere. You can have an opinion on anything and the world can see it. Whether you got one person that impresses on your tweets or 100,000, like, once you put it out there, your thought, anybody can see it. And so retweets and likes of other people's conversations and all these viral conversations about it. Like, I just see it is a big deal. But at the same time, like, I think the NBA should have waited to hand down the punishment. I'll tell you why. Because what they did is they handed that punishment real quick, right during football season, like boom, everybody gonna have their conversation on it, and then boom, y'all are back to watching football. It's not even basketball season yet. Teams are just now about to start camp. So I'm a little skeptical on why they did it that way, because it's like, you throw it in on a Tuesday, it's the topic of discussion Wednesday, and then guess what? Everybody's right back to talking about Thursday night football. And then on Friday, they're talking NFL, and they're so it's like a one day, has the Sarver conversation, it really hasn't gotten a lot of coverage. Like, when you really think about it, people said their piece, and then that was it. Like, boom, on to football. So I really find it a little weird that they handed the suspension down when they did, when like, we're not yet prepping for basketball season and we're in prime like NFL season, college football. Like, we know football is king in America. And so we throw it in there while everybody else has something to think about and they're not really fully paying attention to what's going on. And so I do find that a little weird that they handed the suspension down. Like, I think when teams start returning from training camp, now we're like, we're talking NBA, we're talking possibilities of this and that. And then now you make that like, while NBA is news, this is news. But I think they kind of threw it in there while the NBA isn't news. We'll throw it in there. We'll let people talk about it for 48 hours. And then boom, it's out the window onto football. Like, and it kind of moves like the networks don't care anymore, because they don't. I haven't heard much coverage on it, to be honest.
There's a strategy to that. And I think the NBA is working and did that maybe strategically. You don't want this black eye and this eyesore over the league for a very long time. So how about we drop this at the beginning of both college football and the NFL? Like, football is big right now. And so you drop the news, you drop a suspension, and I think they're hoping that once a time that the leagues report to camp and when they have their media there, they're probably hoping nobody asks any questions or the amount of questions they get are less because of the time that the news drops. One thing I'll close out with this, Mo, is this, and you made a good point. A lot of NBA writers, they're NBA guys. Local team beat reporters, ESPN has guys that are strictly NBA, Fox, all these networks have strictly NBA guys. It's different than with, like, say, NFL or football, where sometimes you might have somebody that does some things for CBS or they're dabbling between college and the NFL. These NBA guys, they're NBA guys. I'm going away from the broadcast or the TV, but it's strictly the reporters. I firmly think these reporters are going to bring this up. And I'm not talking about the local guys, the national guys. So you got a Pacers fan here. Scott Agnes covers the Pacers, been covering the Pacers for 10 plus years. I guarantee you there's going to be a time during Pacers media days that he's going to bring this up to different players on the Pacers, Miles Turner being one of them. Go out to L.A. Go out to Boston. Jackie McMullen, long-term reporter, is going to be asking these players these questions. Go down to Miami. Go over to Milwaukee. Go to Detroit. I guarantee you, these NBA reporters are not going to forget the suspension, Robert Sarver, and you might hear more things come out about the way that Sarver treated players. Maybe Steve Nash might come out. Maybe Amari Stoudemire might come out. Maybe Stephon Marbury might come out. Maybe Quentin Richardson might come out. I mean, I'm Al Harrington. I'm going back to my childhood now, but all these guys that are there that you might want to say, some of these guys are hood players. You might want to describe them. I do not. They're just really good basketball players, good guys. But they might get that thug mentality, and some guys might call them thugs in the NBA, in NBA circles. Let some of these guys come out and discuss their interactions, their dealings with Robert Sarver. Once NBA ramps up, I guarantee you, even though the NBA dumped it in a time where hopefully they're thinking this gets swept under the rug, these NBA reporters, they're really, really smart. And they're not going to forget what's going on right now. Mo, last word. Then also, if you could, let everyone know where they can follow you on Twitter and catch your show as well.
Yeah, so you can follow me at Mo_Cheese15 on Twitter, at Up in Flames Pod on Instagram. But real quick, before we close out, you said it best. These star players are going to answer to these questions come media days very soon. What are we, a week or two away, I think? I think we're like 2 weeks away. But they dumped it at a time, and all these Jimmy Butler and LeBron James and Anthony Davis and especially Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and Cam Johnson, and DeAndre Ayton, and Monty Williams. Like, just wait. Everybody on Phoenix is going to have to answer. But at the same time, like, all these star players, they're going to ask Giannis. Guarantee it. Like you said, they know, and they know it's just not our time yet. These reporters are waiting for media day for the NBA. It's not our time yet. But when it is, we will make sure this is the topic of conversation. And then all these networks are going to have to talk about the words from Giannis and the words from Jimmy Butler and the words from LeBron and Anthony Davis. And we could just name every superstar on every team. And then all the words from Chris and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Cam Johnson and anybody else. And then anybody else who in the podcast world now, like, what if somebody goes on All the Smoke with Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson and speaks on that? What if somebody get on Q Rich and his podcast and somebody talks about it? So I think the NBA is just, the NBA people who want this to be talked about is just waiting for their time. And when it is, all them networks are going to have to cover everything said by everybody else. And they're going to have to, they'll dump it on like the Tuesdays and Wednesdays after they talk about that Monday night game. This is the rest of the conversation for the next 2 to 3 hours, however long the show may be. But it's just not the NBA's time yet, but they'll have to answer to it soon.
Yes, they will. Guys, you can follow me on Twitter at jstevens07. Happy to have Mo back on the podcast. Mo would not be a stranger. He'll be back on the podcast here very, very soon. Maybe talking about the Cowboys or something in the NFL. You never know what Mo will talk about when he's back on the show, guys. This has been episode 257 of the J Stevens Podcast. I will see you next time.